Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Mike Menzies is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Mike is a more than 11-year member of our Brain Trust. He joined us the first time in 98 when we first started getting bankers on the show to get them to help us understand how to do a better job of working with bankers. And Mike is the president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland, currently the outgoing chairman of the ICBA, the national trade group that represents independent community banks. And he's our good friend, Mike Menzies. Welcome back to the show.
James, thank you, sir. It's great to be with you, as always.
It's good to have you with us, as always. Mike, big doings these days for independent community banks. You know, I've been, as you know, I've been following the bank bailouts pretty closely, and I've been hearing all of the bad information, the incorrect information being given out about nobody's making any loans, small business owners can't get loans, blah blah blah, and I've been retorting those, I've been rebuffing and correcting those people as much as I can on my show and wherever I could talk about it, but recently, this week actually, I guess, and last week too partially, the president has come up with this idea as part of his small business jobs program to push out $30 billion to independent community banks just like yours, Mike. That's money that has been repaid by the other banks, the TARP money that was repaid, so it's not new appropriations, it's just been repaid. And they want to push that out so you guys will have enough, have more money to loan to small business owners. So here's my, folks, that's the setup. Here's my question, my first question to you, Mike. Does your bank, Eastern Bank and Trust, need more money because you don't have enough to loan for the small business loan demand that you have?
Well, the specific answer to that question, Jim, is no, absolutely not.
You have enough money for the demand that you have.
We don't need money. The issue really is less one of need and more one of whether we can better lever our balance sheet to do a better job for our community. And if there are funds in the form of capital that are available to allow us to better lever our balance sheet.
Capital, when you say capital, tell the artist what that means rather than a loan.
For example, $30 billion of capital would produce, in the community banking terms, about $300 billion worth of loans because you lever that 10 to 1.
Right.
So the conservatively managed community banks, unlike mega banks and some Wall Street firms that are levered 40 to 1, conservative community banks are levered maybe 10 to 1. So they have a dollar of capital for every $10 of loans. And if the program that the Congress adopts is one that that invests in community banks for the purpose of expanding small business lending, and if it is crafted properly, then it could make a significant difference for Small Business America. And if not crafted properly, it will not be accepted by the community banks.
Okay, so let's, what are there, 7,000 community banks now after
well,
all?
Sadly, we had 140evaporate last year, so we have somewhere around 8,000 banks altogether, and somewhere around 8,000 community banks that are $10 billion in assets and under. Compare that to Citigroup, $2 trillion.
Right. So 8,000 community banks, and I'm trying to figure out, I don't have a calculator in front of me, but that's a little above my decimal point in my brain, but I'm trying to figure out, all right, so, but let's say that, what would be an amount that your size bank, you got $100 million in assets?
We have $150 million in assets.
And by the way, folks, when Mike joined me on my show back in 98, Mike, I think you had like $35 million or something like that. You were a tiny, tiny bank in those days.
I thought you told me you weren't going to talk about your deposit account.
but anyway, so let's say, what would be a size of the money that would you would get, the capital you would get from the government for your size bank? What would it be, a half a billion, 500 million?
I think to keep the math simple, because the formula is based on risk-based assets, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on that.
Right.
But if you're a $100 million bank in risk-based assets, then you could draw down about $5 million.
$5 million. Okay.
Which would produce as much as $50 million worth of loans, levered 10 to 1.
But that money would come in basically as a loan to your bank from the government, right?
Well, that's one of the details that the bank needs to understand, and we don't know exactly how this bill is going to be crafted, what Congress is going to accept, the nature of the capital and the form of the capital, and how regulators will look at the capital. A lot of that water needs to go under the bridge to figure out how this program is going to work.
In preparing for this show, this interview, Mike, I called some other bankers that I know and invited them to be on the show, and they would have. They just had a scheduling conflict, but I asked them if I could. I won't say their names because I would rather they come here and say that their opinion themselves. But I do. They did tell me that I could say their answer. I could give you, the audience, their answer, and the other answers I got was, we don't need the money. We don't want to be connected to the government that way. Now one of the guys was a little cruder in his comment on what what the government could do with their money, but he's basically said, we don't want to be connected to the government that way. I've got all the connections to the federal government that I need.
You know, Jim,
can you see how a banker, an independent banker, would feel that way?
Oh, you betcha. We met with Secretary Paulson September in 2008 to talk about ways to provide community banks with access to TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. And when we met with the secretary, all of us, including the secretary, agreed that it was remarkably unfortunate that that name was chosen to label this program.
TARP, Troubled Assets Recovery.
Yeah. And in addition to that, it was totally clear that the Treasury was not going to invest in troubled community banks, that it was not their intention to put TARP money in community banks that were in trouble. And they were clear to us, if we were not well capitalized, profitable, and doing well, they weren't putting money into the community banks. Sadly, community banks were painted with the TARP brush, the bailout brush, which was probably appropriate for the 19 megabanks, but not appropriate for the community banks that were trying to take down TARP money to benefit their community.
Mm-hmm.
And many community banks took down TARP money and gave it back almost immediately because of the stigma.
Hold on to that thought, Mike. When we come back, I'm going to ask Mike to go a little further, explain why his bank and his community would benefit from this money, even though he doesn't need it. 20 after, stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. Little Richie Valens bringing us back. The late, great Richie Valens. That's, his mama named him Valenzuela, though. He just shortened it a little bit for rock and roll. And it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Mike Menzies, I don't want to miss a minute of time with him. He's our good friend. He's with us. He's president of Eastern Bank and Trust, the outgoing chairman of the ICBA, the Community Bankers Association. I'll get it right in a second. And, Mike, it's EasternBankandTrust.com, isn't it?
Yes, sir, all because of you.
That's not your grandfather's bank website, ladies and gentlemen. You got to go check that out. And, of course, we're still anxiously awaiting your book, Mike.
Yeah, listen to this. Well, don't hold your breath.
There's a book in you that the world needs to see, Mike, and and I'll help you with it. Don't worry. Just get started. We're talking, folks, about this $30 billion program that the president wants to give, I'm putting that in quotes. We don't know how it's going to come to them yet. Independent community banks, most of the 8,000 community banks will get benefit if they want it. And they can turn it down, can't they, Mike?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, this would be, I don't think you can force a bank to take.
But do you think that it would be politically incorrect and maybe even a little bit politically regulatorily bad form to not take money? I mean, could you see somebody get a bank like the guy I talked to who's told the bank, who said he wanted to tell the government what they could do with their money? Do you think that that guy might have to do it just to keep from being the oddball?
No, I don't believe that.
I'm glad to hear
that.
For example,
we were approved for TARP funds at our little bank, and the board decided it did not want to take the money down.
But that wasn't the same program. This program is designed for you, Mike.
Absolutely. It's designed
this is
going to
be different.
Banks. It's designed for Small Business America. It's designed for banks that are $10 billion and under.
Yeah.
It's very much focused on attempting to develop delivery strategies to help small business. And if the program, in fact, is designed to allow community banks to use their delivery channel to help small business, then it'll be a good thing.
So, all right, now, so let's say that the $30 billion goes out across America through these independent community banks. How is it going to manifest in the marketplace? How is it going to create jobs, Mike?
Well, you know, there are a couple of questions there, James. The first question is whether the economy drives credit or whether credit drives the economy.
Right.
And I think most of us believe that, in fact, the economy drives credit.
At least today it does.
Yeah, and that you can't just dump credit into an economy and cause it to recover. But with that said, if community banks can better lever their balance sheets and have a little bit more capital to deal with this regulatory world, which is extremely
right.
critical.
And getting worse.
Then community banks can look harder at finding small business solutions because they know they'll have a little bit extra capital.
So you're thinking, Mike, that by you being able to have a little more ease of leveraging your balance sheet, as the economy starts picking up, you'll be able to meet the lending requirements, the borrowing requirements of your small businesses. You'll be already ready to go a lot more than if you hadn't gotten this money.
You know, absolutely, James. If you think about it for a minute, right now the theme in banking is to protect your capital.
Right.
It's to preserve.
That's the reason the big banks aren't loaning.
That's right. But so community banks are protecting their capital. They're still making loans. There's no question about
yep.
it. We grew loans. Our neighbor community banks in our county grew their loans because we are a derivative of the economic health of our community. That's the only derivatives we're involved
right,
in.
Right.
So we're making loans, but that scooch of additional capital, if it doesn't come with too many strings and too much baggage, could in fact make a difference when it comes to community banks supporting the small business needs of their
and
community.
So when the small businesses show up with loan demands, as we hope they will, and maybe this program, once the word gets out, this program will say, well, maybe my banker is maybe looking for me. Maybe that my banker would like to see me come in, and I've got an idea. I'd like to think that so maybe they show up and they talk to you, and now that you can, with these new funds, you can be a little more. I mean, is there a chance that we could be creating a new problem, though, Mike?
Well, sure.
I mean, could we be building another bubble, potentially, a little bubble?
I wouldn't refer to $30 billion as a bubble.
No, I wouldn't. That's the reason I called it a little one. But you see my point?
I do. I see your point. But, James, you know as well as I do that it takes four or five different events to come together to create the whole.
Yeah.
And here you have the regulatory environment that needs to find a way to find its bottom, whatever that is, and to settle down and to not be as harsh. You have the economy. You have access to competitive and inexpensive funds.
Yeah.
Remember, I can't go to the Federal Reserve like some mega banks and borrow $300 billion at a quarter of a point to carry my troubled assets.
Right, right.
I've got to compete in the free market.
Right.
So getting competitive funding sources is a great help.
Mike, I've got to wrap it up, unfortunately, but the last point here is all the devil's in the details, right? The government's got to produce a plan that makes sense for your bank, for independent community banks. It can't be a big bank solution, can it?
No, sir, it can't be.
Okay, we'll have to wait on that. Hey, Mike, and I know you'll keep reporting on it with us. Thank you for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure, James.
Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.